Welcome to the ESP Media Studios for this week's edition of the Angry Quarterbacks. So here's how we get that name. We're the two angry guys. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner. And yes, we actually have a quarterback.
We do.
He is Tony Pike. Played in the NFL, played at UC, played at Reading. All got started in Reading.
Can we just say this week of all weeks, though, the angry quarterback, it signifies most because all weekend I watched awful quarterbacks.
That made you angry.
Yes.
Yeah, you did. I never thought about
that. I like
that.
The theme. It
yeah.
is true.
Sure.
From Columbus.
Oh.
Yeah.
To Cincinnati.
Spate.
To Ann Arbor.
Quarterback at Michigan.
He's bad. Michigan's got a very good football team, but a not so good quarterback.
What about putting O'Corn?
So hang on, we're starting with college football. Segment number one. We'll do college. We'll do high school. We'll do the NFL.
He just put the foot down.
So let's start. Let's start with college. Let's start with your alma mater.
Yeah.
The UC Bearcats, so you went up, and obviously you did your sideline esteemed reporting during the Bearcats-Wolverines game, and what would be your thoughts afterward?
Well, I didn't think this was possible, but I was happier after that loss than the Austin Peay win. Because Austin Peay, I thought we were going to go up to Michigan, it was going to be ugly. Leaving the Michigan game, I thought a couple things. One, Hayden Moore was not good again.
Right.
We talked about it after the Austin Peay game. If you stare down receivers against better teams, bad things are going to happen. We said it here last week. Two pick sixes. So immediately.
And the safety.
Right. And the safety. Immediately you're down 14-0. I'm thinking, okay, at Michigan, what we saw the last couple years with this team, it's going to be ugly. Now, what the team did and rallied around what Coach Fickell's done there, and you could see how the atmosphere has changed and the way these guys approach the game, because defense played extremely well. They were put down 14 points. We missed two, a drop deep ball and then a deep ball through Khalil Lewis's hands. Or that Hayden Moore overthrew. And with those, that's 21, or it's 17-14 in the third quarter. We got a chance on Michigan's side of the field to take the lead. So
yeah.
I thought they hung around great. I thought it showed that this team's in the right direction. Now, questioning Mike Boone in there at the end of the game.
Yeah, and what is the prognosis for him?
They were working on his ankle. They've still yet to release what it is, but it looked. From where they were looking, it looked more like a high ankle type of thing.
Because he should be a huge part of what they do.
That's a huge factor. If you lose him with the way Hayden's played through the first 2 weeks and creeping back into last year, teams are going to become one-dimensional and make you one-dimensional. I think that's a problem right now. But the way they fought, the way they hung in the game compared to what we've seen,
right.
I think it's trending in the right direction.
Well, which is what coming out of a game like Michigan, that's what you would want, because the remaining schedule are games that really you have a chance to win.
Now, the biggest thing you worry about is ABC, 111,000 people, Michigan. Is there any kind of intensity letdown or emotional letdown as you come into this week? You hope not. But then, like you said, take away Hayden Moore wasn't good. Spate for Michigan. You have all the tools on that team.
Correct.
Their defense is ridiculous.
Absurd.
Their tight ends are the biggest human beings I've seen on the football field. And their running game is unreal. All you have to do is be decent at play-action passing.
Just don't give the ball away.
And you should roll. And that goes the same for Ohio State as well. It's just two teams with good running games that you just got to be competent at quarterback.
Yeah. I do want to ask you about the quarterback situation you see, because Ross Trail did battle Hayden Moore throughout camp, and it was pretty close. You know it better than I do, but from what I understand, it was pretty close. Now, I know Trail has battled some injury stuff, right? Is it close to getting him maybe some snaps or at least a look if things don't go for Hayden Moore?
I think you have to start giving him more reps, but at the same time, Their big thing going in was when they make a decision, they're sticking with it.
And I don't mind that.
Last year, the problem was if you had a bad series, you're looking over your shoulder.
Correct.
So they've pretty much put everything into Hayden.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
If he struggles this week and you turn the ball over in a rivalry game like this and you struggle, then you have to, because now your season's on the line.
Correct.
You got to start making choices to finish out the year.
So obviously they play for the victory bell, and UC has dominated this series, although there have been some close games. Does that still, and I know this sounds crazy, but does it matter today the way it once did between these two schools?
I think it's lost a little bit of its lore. Even when I was playing, I had one of my best friends, Matt McEwen, played at Miami.
Yeah.
So there was always that rivalry of, even when we were playing and then right when we were done playing.
You probably had more area guys when you played than they do today.
Absolutely.
Because Tommy Tuberville did not obviously recruit very well in this area, so there is a little bit more of that rivalry.
Well, you go then, you had, the Roethlisberger, they had Betts, they had now they have Ragland, but there was a lot of local guys and different things going against each other. And at the time, Miami was,
good
on the rise. They're very relevant in college football. I think their struggles over the last couple of years, anytime you win 11 straight in a rivalry, it's going to get a little bit stale. I like that they renewed it just because I think it's cool to have. I don't like at all, send it to Paul Brown for three games.
I'm a big home guy.
I thought that was terrible. You take away from the home atmosphere. And you saw how that took away from UC when they were renovating the stadium.
Well, and the thing is, it's not like you're asking the fan bases to travel far to go to Yeager or to go to Nippert. I mean, you got Miami alums in this area, and you got probably some UC alums that can get to Oxford very quickly. It's not hard. I'm with you. I get if Paul Brown wanted the game and they gave them some nice guarantee, and maybe let's face it, both athletic departments are bleeding money to some degree. Yeah. If you got a good deal, I understand taking it, but I'm with you. I like the home and home better.
Now it's a Saturday night game in Oxford, which to me it should be a good atmosphere. I mean, you would think, and I look at this game for both teams as very pivotal. I mean, if you're Miami, you had the coulda, shoulda, woulda at Marshall, then you win against Austin Peay. Now, if you can snap that 11-game losing skid in the series, take momentum into your conference. Because
Miami's got one more hard non-conference.
They're at
game.
Notre Dame, right? Yeah, at the end of the month, and then of course UC, we follow that with Navy, and so I think the winner of this game takes a step forward. The loser has to kind of regroup and figure things out a little bit.
What's a successful year for UC this year would be getting to a bowl game.
Yes.
With what they have.
Even if it's the 6-win minimum to get
there.
This
game, I think, hinges if you make a bowl game or not. Because Navy, South Florida, UCF, Temple, those are all going to be really tough games to win in the AAC. So I just think it's a must win for UC. And then when you're looking at Miami, all the momentum they built last year, how we talked about them every week. Yep. Can they do it again? Can they do it again? You almost lose that if you fall to Marshall and fall to UC. So this is a great chance here for Miami as well.
Buckeyes, margin for error, seemingly gone. They lose at home to Oklahoma. They didn't just lose. I mean, really, let's be honest. As the game wore on, Oklahoma pretty much dominated Ohio State. They really did in the horseshoe. And now, after Ohio State went out there last year and kind of did the same thing, and it does leave you wondering, their offense is not very good right now.
It's almost like JT Barrett doesn't want to throw interceptions.
Right.
Like he's not going to try to fit the ball anywhere. If it's the same with Michigan. If you go in and take away their running game, it's going to be hard for them to score. Now, I've taken a lot of heat already, but Baker Mayfield, that whole – I love the guy. I mean, I think what he did –
no issue with that whatsoever.
The way he explained it, they celebrated on our home field last year. We worked hard all offseason. We watched game day this morning. No one picked us to win. You know, the only thing I don't like is he went back and apologized.
Yeah.
You know, he came back and apologized, but
own it, baby. Yeah, own it.
Own it. Have some, play with some emotion. You know, I like being vocal like that and being a team leader.
Well, I mean, here's what I know.
I might get his jersey.
Well, when you back it up and you win.
Yeah.
I mean, the people who get worked up about that, they're just sore losers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all it comes down to.
No, I told you, a good friend of mine is a huge Ohio State fan. I mean, just is an absolute diehard. And he even said he didn't have a problem with it. He thought, look, the guy earned the right to do that. They came to their place and beat him.
So now where does Ohio State, Tony, what do you think from here? I mean, it's, they've got – Skinny and I talked on our other podcast. They've obviously got Penn State in Columbus. Yep. They still have to go to Ann Arbor the last game of the regular season. I mean, their margin for – if they lose one more time, they're likely, depending on how it all shakes down – but they're likely out of the 14 playoff.
Do they miss Wisconsin this year?
I can look. I'll look as we're talking here.
I believe they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's nobody else, honestly. Yeah. There's nobody else in the Big Ten, I don't think, that can really beat that.
I think Penn State's looked really impressive through the first three weeks. I think going to Ann Arbor is going to be tough just from the defense that I watched on Saturday. And especially when that defense can take away your run game and make you one-dimensional, I think that's going to be extremely tough. I think this is a year as much as – it's good to have local teams represented. I don't think Ohio State makes it back this year. I think they're going to end up losing one of those just because of the fact that they are one-dimensional right now.
Well, and speaking about one of those perhaps, teams that can't afford another loss, Notre Dame. I mean, they lose to Georgia 20-19. When you look at their remaining schedule.
But I don't think anybody thought Notre Dame was going to be in the mix to make the playoffs.
No, but
not the playoffs,
but
should beat Georgia without their starting quarterback.
That is correct. Yes,
you should. So,
and Brian Kelly's post-game interview, the whole – do you see him attack that reporter?
Brian Kelly, to me, he's a tiresome act.
Yeah.
By the way, Ohio State does miss
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, but they do play at Iowa, which
– yeah,
and
Iowa.
And that comes right after hosting Penn State.
Well, and don't forget, too, Iowa last year got Michigan.
Yep.
I mean, so you're right. You never know. But those are clearly two of the tough ones. Kentucky, we talked about that a little bit, at South Carolina, home against Florida. I think if you're going to do anything in the SEC, you have to at least win one of those.
Because it used to be Florida was so much more dominant than anybody else on their side, and Georgia and Tennessee as well. Kentucky's caught up to Tennessee a little bit. I don't know if they've caught up to Georgia completely, although I think they could beat them maybe if Eason didn't play in a game. Right. And Florida offensively, now they're going to get some of their dudes back.
Right.
But they weren't
I mean, offensively, no, they're not very good.
They won last year in spite of their offense. Yeah, their defense was very good. Now, they killed Kentucky last year. But, no, the South Carolina game, Kentucky, it's a big one because it's a first road game. Their offense just has to get better. They've really struggled offensively to get much rhythm going.
It seems to me there are a lot of teams, and we'll get to that obviously in our NFL segment. There's a lot of offenses that are really struggling. Why is that?
In college you're talking or just in general?
I think both. I think in general.
Well, I think in the NFL, no doubt we'll talk about that in the NFL segment. In college, I mean, I don't know, is it that you're recruiting, Tony, because you know teams are in the spread? Are you recruiting more speed guys to match up with that?
Yeah, you just try to get speed. And when you're not the powerhouse programs, it's hard to get those guys. Like, when you looked at Michigan, that, you know, the Coach Fickell's worry before the game, it was – early speed, late size.
Right.
So if you're not one of the powerhouses, you got to pick size or speed.
Right.
But I'll give you one. Auburn-Clemson. I realize Clemson has a good defense, but, I mean, Auburn had – you know, they come out, they score the first 6 points. They didn't score again.
Well,
it's not like they're void of talent.
Yeah, but let me just tell you. Clemson's defensive front.
I know.
They're all NFL guys.
I know.
Yeah. All NFL guys.
And it does seem like when you have from an Ohio State front to a Clemson front – and who I'm forgetting, to an Alabama. Yeah. I mean,
to an Alabama team. Let's just go there.
When you go year in and year out, you as a good coach, you know, when you're at the top schools, you get what you want. But sometimes you have to adjust things on offense. Gus Malzahn, sometimes you can't run that same offense because you don't have the horses. If you don't have a quarterback to do it, you got to change it up. So I think that goes into a lot. I think also what we didn't hit on just real quick, Indiana, they benched their starter in the first quarter. Peyton Ramsey came in, two touchdown passes, one touchdown run at Virginia, I think, for his really first meaningful time.
That's big time.
Showing
Are
he
you
can throw the ball.
Me?
I mean, that's huge going forward, I think, for him. And Lagosa, I mean, he's an NFL prospect that a lot of guys are talking about.
Correct. He's a fifth-year – I mean, no. And I'll tell you, Indiana is much better.
Oh, yeah.
As you saw for three quarters against Ohio State, they kind of let that one get out of hand, but they're a much better team.
Kevin Wilson, who's now obviously the offensive coordinator at Ohio State, which doesn't speak volumes with what they did, he did start to do a really good job at Indiana. He really did.
Well, everybody else kind of got Indiana, and they just couldn't get over that little hump. He seemed to have them at least – you know, if you're in Indiana, can you get in the upper half?
Right.
No, because the state of Indiana doesn't have a ton of great players. It just doesn't.
It does not. You would be correct.
But theme of the day, trending. They are trending in the right direction.
They are.
Other teams we can talk about as the show goes on, not so much.
We'll get to that. But I think the one thing for sure, week in and week out, like Clemson at Louisville, that's got the makings of, I mean, Lamar Jackson against
that
Clemson defense.
I would tell you, I don't find many stumbling blocks for Alabama, but you can see them for USC. You can see them for Clemson. You can see teams in the
–
I mean, maybe Ohio State does have a small margin. Maybe two losses this year does get you in.
Well,
I don't think it does.
It depends on what you're describing. Do a lot of other teams have two defeats? And if they do, and you, as Ohio State, only have two, win the Big Ten championship, then you're right back in it. So they're clearly not out of it. Yeah. It really depends on what everybody else does.
Well, the day you take a two-team –
Two-loss team
into the national championship, then you create havoc.
Well, you do.
If you get a, you know, say South Florida, who's heads and tails above
goes
everyone
undefeated.
In the AAC.
Yeah,
say
goes,
they go undefeated.
Right.
Do you take them knowing that a matchup against Alabama, they're probably going to get
destroyed.
Throttled.
Well, I mean,
and Ohio State would be a better game, and then you know
they're good, but they've had a couple games early where they actually struggled to beat teams.
Well, don't you think last year? And I know they came in and Washington, but most people expected them to get absolutely drubbed by Alabama.
Yeah,
I mean they did in that first game, so it'll be interesting. There you have it, college football in the books for another week. UC or Miami? Before we,
well,
I know I'm going Miami.
I'm going Miami too.
Homer. You homer.
And you know what? At least up there, if I went to the game, I could probably find some street parking, just for the record. Maybe.
What if I gave you a green lot parking pass?
Campus green, my friend.
Campus green
to the
lot.
Garage.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
No,
just remember, when you see cones, cops, and a white truck, you're screwed.
You got to get down there 2 hours before the game. That was clearly listed.
Hell,
on
I was
the
down
label.
There an hour and 50. I didn't read that in the fine print on the back of
Again,
my pass.
We're going to park at the banks. We're going to take the streetcar up to the end of the line. Hop an Uber. We'll be in Nippert within 15 minutes.
You know what? I thought about applying for a job as a driver of the connector. You just drive around by yourself, honk and wave. Hey, what's up, man? Having a good day? I mean, nobody ever gets on, do they? I love when they keep coming. How many companies are they going to pay to do these surveys where they continue to give you these numbers?
Well, you do those surveys,
don't
you?
They just paid. I saw a report on the news this morning where they paid Miami. You know, I presume it was Miami University. It was about the underage drinking and the binge drinking and all that. And I love this conclusion. They could have just called me. I would have taken half the fee. Saved all the time. So the conclusion, I saw a student
is that 18 to 20-year-olds do binge drink in college.
No, here's what it was. They're not going to bars anymore. They're going to parties.
Well, you know what's funny? My youngest daughter is in a sorority. She went to the game with us on Saturday. And I said, where's your sorority sisters and your roommates?
Well,
and
you killed that buzz.
She goes, they're all drinking. I said, okay, well, I guess
but
that's
the bottom line
10 o'clock
is,
in the morning.
Okay. If you knew now that law enforcement and bar owners were going to card you, you just wouldn't go there, right? Yep. You'd go somewhere where Fred could bring you beer and you would drink
it. Well, there's that.
No. That's why you go to parties.
Or you have a fake ID.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's part of the issue, too. I think
Really?
No. I think part of the issue is they're now cracking. I mean, some of these fake IDs, I mean, what is Johnny Law blind? How the hell could you not see that that was not a real ID?
Sure, you don't look like a black man.
Right.
I'm not. I'm a 5'2" blonde girl, but you're right, sir. Thanks.
Jesus. All right, let's move along, shall we? Okay, so you're picking the Bearcats because you have to.
Yeah, because you have to.
You're going Miami, and I'm going because the Campus Green Garage is still not open.
Yeah, you're going out of bitterness. I'm trying to do this out of objectivity. Hang on. So I got a homer pick, I got a bitter pick, and I'm trying to be the objective pick.
All right, so then you break the tie.
I broke the tie with Miami.
All right, so there you have it. College football's in the books. We'll talk some high school football when we continue. You're listening to this week's edition of the Angry Quarterbacks from ESP Media. Welcome into the ESP Media Studios here in Kenwood for episode, I don't know what the hell episode it is, but it's segment number 2. 17, someone is counting. Someone needs something else to do. Very impressed that he knew that number. All right, we are the Angry Quarterbacks. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner. The Angry Guys from Local12.com, where we're going to get to
We call it the Local 12 Tri-State Top 12. How clever is that, Tom?
Too impressive.
Too many T's, Fred. And he's a legitimate quarterback. He played at Reading. He played for the Bearcats. He still can't park for free. And he plays in the played in the NFL as well. He would be Tony Pye. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Huh?
$20.
Did you turn $20?
$20 at garage.
You can't be serious.
Do you know what they were charging media in Michigan to park? And they were charging
media.
Yeah, they're charging media.
What?
$50.
Come on.
Not kidding.
So there's
you.
No such thing as a media parking pass?
From my understanding, I know the Enquirer went.
Really?
Our station went, and our station decided they weren't going to, they told the two that went up, videographer and the reporter, well, you got to find something cheaper. Guess what they found? $50 parking lot.
Yeah,
voila.
If you want to find something cheaper, drop me off.
Exactly.
By the way, let me tell you quick, this is one of the classic stories ever. You might remember this. I can't remember whether I was covering the Kentucky Derby or the Breeders' Cup. But I went down, got checked into my hotel, and when I came back, I had to go to the track. I came back to my room, and it was locked. And I'm like, what the hell? It wouldn't take my key. So I went back to the main desk. I cannot make this up.
Oh, this is when the credit card didn't work, right?
Well, not only did it not work, Fred got it out of
he
an
cut
envelope,
it.
But in front of me started cutting up my company credit card.
It was a company credit card.
I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Well, what had happened is, you can imagine, I know this will stun you, they failed to pay the bill.
Correct.
So I don't know why that gives you the liberty to just slice and dice my... And luckily, I had some cash.
Sir, you cannot stay.
No.
You must leave.
Just awful.
Your credit not good.
Anyway, then it wasn't good. Hell, I didn't have any. All right, we move along. It's time for some high school football talk. As we approach, I make sure I get this right. The week four of the Ohio season.
That is correct.
And it's week four of the Kentucky season. That's
right.
They just start a week early with zero.
Zero.
And then Indiana
is in week five.
Week five. Week five. Yeah, it's hard. Why can't they just all do the same damn thing?
I don't know. I can't help you with that.
All right, but
maybe because it's three different state associations running them.
Could be. I think you're onto something there. But we will look at. Let's start in. So you do. I'll give you.
Yes.
You do the Local 12, which I can check out at local12.com or on the app.
That is correct.
Right.
The Local 12 tri-state.
All right.
Top
so
12.
For the top 12, you group them. No classifications. Be damned.
It can be an Indiana school. It can be a Cincinnati area school. It can be a Northern Kentucky school.
Let me see how close I can
all right,
get.
Go ahead. Now, this is actually I'm going to give a caveat because we've discussed a couple of teams that I want to go one way and a couple other people want to go another way. I'll get to that one.
So who wins in the end? Whose vote is the final vote?
I'm the one that puts it together. I'm the one that does a lot of the work
for
it.
Well, you can just change crap after they don't know.
But I did say I will take the majority rule on it.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to get outvoted.
Number one's going to be unanimous. Number one's got to be Saint.
Very simple, yes.
And they're off to a 3-0 start. They have Indianapolis Cathedral coming in. And don't be deceived by their 1-3 record. They're still a pretty good football team.
Cathedral's playing X, and then they're playing Ryle next week?
They're playing Ryle the 2 weeks, and that's the game that's on ESPNU.
Yeah, okay.
And that's because Cathedral has a couple dudes in the – you know,
right.
When they put them on TV, national TV, it's not team as much as it's individual guys.
X is essentially coming off their bye week.
Yes, they beat Walnut Hills 50-7.
Yeah, they did, and I can tell you this.
Gotta love Walnut Hills, I guess, for playing the game.
Well, and let me tell you this. Previous coach,
that's a good point.
I can tell you this. St. Xavier played more than 100 kids.
Yeah. Wow, well, good year for them. Doing it the right way.
All right, so number one. Number two, it's either, I'll give you one, but it's either LaSalle or it's either Elder. I'm going Elder.
Going LaSalle just because we had Colerain number two.
So
and
then Elder's number three.
Elder's
correct?
Number three, that's correct.
All right. So it's
a big win over Gahanna Lincoln.
It is.
Well, and a big win.
Got a touchdown late from Danny Neiman for
they
the touchdown pass.
But they're
to win
still
it.
Doing it. Michael Bittner ran for a couple scores. Neiman's throwing the ball better after his.
Good balance.
And they got a big game this week up at Lakewood St. Ed.
Well, don't they? I think they have St. Ed's and then St. I.
That's
up there and then back. I mean, it's crazy. Well, what
that
do you do?
Insane.
I mean, so and then I would tell you LaSalle is yet to give up a defensive touchdown.
Correct.
In fact, they've only given up 3 points. They pitched back-to-back shutouts. Now, East Central, that was the weather conditions. They were missing their QB. West Claremont, still youthful, et cetera.
Right. But still.
Last week. Oh, no, and still against Colerain, again, holding them without a touchdown. And Pat McLaughlin, and they've got their win streak rolling. All right, number four.
And I got overruled on this 2 weeks ago because I was going to
– Oh, I know who it is. It's Colerain.
It's Colerain. I still think they're legit.
Well, and I told you, I talked to Steve Specht, and he said, look, make
no
mistake.
You saw him, Tony. I mean,
they're
still
good.
Legit.
They're legit. They're going to run the table from where they are now. They're going to end up getting a lower seed in the playoff.
Yeah.
And they're going to knock off one of the high seeds that get screwed because
that's
the ranking system.
That's what's going to happen. You're going to have them come in at like a 6 seed playing a 3, and it's going to be, oh, gosh, how do we wind
they're
up this
They're
going
to come to your home field and wipe the turf with
Yes.
You.
All right, so now we're up to what we just got.
Down to number five.
Down to number five, which is either going to be, it's one of two. It's either going to be Sycamore or Molar.
It is Molar. The way I do it, honestly, I try to do it of who do I think would beat the other team. And honestly, this is no knock on Sycamore. They've allowed one touchdown in three games. If you put a gun to my head and said pick Molar or Sycamore, who would you pick?
Molar.
Yeah, Molar. So that's why they're ranked ahead
of Sycamore. Molar shows up. I mean, the Molar this week.
Well, they've only had
–
I mean, the reality
– Yeah.
Right. And so this coming week – Scott County's at LaSalle Friday night, and then Lexington Lafayette.
Scott County's good.
Well, they are. And Lafayette, they're off to a slow start, but they're the two-time 6A runner-up.
Correct.
So, I mean, I would tell you this about Molar. Miles McBride, in three games, he's had two near-perfect performances.
Mm-hmm. If only somebody could teach him how to be a quarterback.
Well, but, I mean, he was – right, he was –
None of those around here.
Forget about that. He's 11-12 against Hamilton, 14 East. He was 14-18 at Scott County.
He's so mechanically unsound.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if he just had a little bit better form.
Right.
Yeah.
He's 11.
Better teaching.
But I got to be honest with you, 11 TDs
did you,
and two interceptions.
Did you work with him by
chance? I did not. No.
Oh, okay.
That's why. That's a great plug for me. Thank
and
you.
I mean, Molar is a 17-point squandered lead away from being 3-0, and that was the only game they've lost to Trinity.
And
all right.
That's no
so then obviously Molar, then Sycamore.
Yep.
So I'm going here. I'm going Northern Kentucky. I'm going Covecath.
Well done. And that's where we're at with the quantity. I've had Simon Kenton ahead of Covecath the whole time, and Covecath right behind them. But
I think Covecath.
But everybody is convincing me to put Covecath now ahead of Simon Kenton, and I think that's probably where it's going to
go. Well, and I'm telling you, Covecath is loaded. I mean, A.J. Mayer's a tremendous
quarterback. The win over Kings, because Kings is really good. I mean, they're good, and they handle them.
They throttled Ryle for the most part, and Ryle is good.
Yes.
I mean, Ryle hasn't lost and has essentially been fairly impressive since. I know they got behind the next week 21-0, but came storming back. Ryle's still a very good football team.
Yeah, so Covecath would be 7, and then Simon Kenton would be 8.
All right, Simon
But
Kenton.
Even though it's still hard. Simon Kenton has done nothing wrong to this point.
All right, so we've got, what, 5 left?
Yeah, we're down to number 9.
We got 4. Mason's in the last 4.
Mason's number 9.
Number 9, okay.
Yep, Mason's number
you
9.
Told me I cheated earlier, so Lakota East snuck in at 12.
They did sneak in at 12.
Right? Hang on, so we've got...
So we got 10 and 11. 11's been a disappointing team that finally got on the board on Friday.
Are they
night.
Both Division I?
I don't think the one is.
11's Fairfield.
11 is Fairfield. Yeah. Finally got on the board with the win. I did that game on Friday. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you this, though. Malik Van and Xavier Peters,
they're really good.
For Fairfield. The other for those defensive lines in that game look like college guys playing against. They were. Malik Van is a man among boys. UC got a steal there, man.
Well, it's just another year. What's it? West 0-3 now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, just loaded with talent.
Right. They are so bad offensively. I mean, defensively, it was 10-3. Yeah. 10-3.
Number 10 is Anderson.
Nope. No. Anderson's knocking on the
Anderson's
door.
Anderson's off to a good start. Are they D1, the number 10?
No, I think they're D2, the team I got.
And this does not include Dayton.
No,
correct?
It does not.
It includes Cincinnati. So whom I forget?
It does not.
Hold on, don't tell me here now. Is it a GMC?
It is not.
It's not.
In fact, I would tell you this. It is a non-league team.
Oh, it's Wynton Woods.
Yeah, they don't have a league.
Well, let me tell you, not the week following, they're at LaSalle.
That is correct.
That could be a tremendous game.
They beat Springboro, which is a good win. They play a team from Canada this
week.
Well,
they beat Northmont, which is 2-1. Yeah. That's their only defeat.
Yeah, so.
No, Wynton Woods, Andre Parker, every year. I mean, they're loaded with talent. Yeah, they get one of the Royal Imperials of Windsor.
Now, if you could guess the now we do two separate polls just to include some other teams. We do an Ohio Division 3-7 poll, and
Wyoming's number 1 there.
No, they're not.
No,
no. I kind of went a little bit further out for this one.
Okay, Franklin.
Yes, Franklin.
Franklin's really good too. I mean, they've got. I tell you what, some of these teams, and I know it's early. I mean, but they're shaping up. There could be some tremendous matchups in the postseason. And you're right about Cole Rain. Can you imagine if they? And I'm just doing this for discussion. But what if they wind up 7 or 8? And your first two would be a St. X.
Right.
I mean, that's your first round game. Yep. You don't want that.
Wyoming is 2. And actually, you came up as a trivia question the other night, Tony Pike, and I missed it.
Really?
That's terrible.
Because Wyoming, I did the game on Star 64. They played CHCA, and my play-by-play guy, Steve Jarnicki, said.
They got a nice press box.
I did it
you
on
look good up there.
Did it on
right.
a scissor lift.
Right.
But he said Wyoming and Indian Hill have won the last how many ever CHL titles.
Yeah.
You have to go back to, I think he said 2002 when Redding won it. And
dominant.
Silly me said, I wonder if that was Deshaun Wynn-led Redding. Didn't even think of you,
hurt.
Tony Pike.
Wow. That's got to
I'm
hurt,
so sorry.
It?
So I'm sure that means Redding's 3 on this list?
No, Redding is not 3 on this
Redding,
list.
I will say, just to mention, though, they Jake Swanner, who was diagnosed with bone cancer a couple of years ago. Told him he'd never play or do anything athletically again. He's cancer-free
now.
He got in for a play in the game. That stuff.
How cool is that? That's cool.
That was great. I saw that on Friday. That was really cool. I mean, those are the
really, really cool moments.
And you know what? That's what high school sports and high school football, that's what it's supposed to be about.
Yep.
I mean, it really is. Great stories like that. So in Kentucky, you've got
I had Simon Kenton 1, but now I'm going to have to put Covecath 1 there. So,
well, yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, Covecath Beach, with great atmosphere, will be this Friday night in Fort Mitchell. Because, I mean, those schools are, a couple miles apart, essentially.
Well, the thing is, a lot of those kids live in the same neighborhood,
correct.
For goodness
sakes. And I will tell you, Noel Rash has done – he's beefed up their schedule. I mean, you think about this. They played Somerset. They played Corbin. Now they play Covecath. And then they play in 3 weeks, they play Simon Kenton.
That is correct.
So they talk about well-schooled to defend a state
championship.
Well,
what he did, it was very smart. He played all the teams in 2A in Northern Kentucky. Yep. He played Lloyd, Holy Cross, which is way down, but they did win a state championship
five or six years ago. Yeah.
And Newcath, they always play them traditionally the last game of the year. Corbin, you mentioned. Somerset, you mentioned. Two 2A schools.
Yeah.
6A Simon Kenton, 5A Covecath. Because you get in the league, it's Ludlow, Bellevue, and Dayton. And
no offense to them.
Oh, Ludlow's actually ranked in the state. They're number 8
they
in the
are,
state.
They are, but it's still Beachwood.
It is.
I mean, comparative to those. And you mentioned the CHL. Clearly Wyoming is the – I mean, they are
absolutely
really good.
Yeah, I think they're the only one that's undefeated. I think everybody else has one loss, if I'm not mistaken, in the CHL.
And it's gonna be interesting. I mean, it really is. Southeastern Indiana, still East Central, Lawrenceburg, they'll continue to play well. And they'll obviously, they all make the playoffs in Indiana, the majority. Now, what about the Rebels of Boone County? They got a win.
They got a W.
They got a W against Holmes. They did.
God is my witness, I thought Deshaun Wynn led Reading to a title. I would have
now
never
I can
thought
tell you,
you're
you,
the last guy I would have thought
now
of.
Wait, when you walk in Reading, I know they're building a new school, but when you
the Tony
go
Pike
in,
wing?
Well, there's Pike and Wynn side by side.
How about that?
Yep. It is.
Wow.
And this is saying, I will tell you that my middle
CH almost have been down that year. Was it down that year, Tony?
Oh, it was one of the best ever. PJ was Pope was back then.
Oh, wow. Yeah, for Wyoming.
For
right?
Wyoming, yeah. Wyoming.
My middle son, so back in your Bearcat
Kenny Town,
days,
Deer Park pretty good then?
I got him your jersey. Obviously, the college jersey didn't have your name on the back, but he's like, I'm going to have you bring that in. I said, well, the problem is it doesn't fit you anymore. It doesn't. I mean, he's just gotten to be bigger. Yeah. He's not.
Did they let you throw? Did you hand off a lot?
That's all we did.
Who now you played for Ken Minor, right?
Yeah, Ken Minor.
Did you hand off to the 8th grade Deshaun Wynn? Is that what that's what it was?
Nope. Didn't hand off. It was just
you
spread,
all the time?
No huddle. We're just going.
Winging it?
Yep.
Did you run, too?
Huh?
Did you run, too?
No. There was never in high school, college, or the NFL.
No design runs?
If option was ever called, there was no option. The option, hand it off, I'll take the heat on Monday.
Okay. I will tell you this quick story about Reading, and then we'll be done with high schools. I'll never forget this. So back when we used to do, when Fox Sports Ohio did local games on Thursday night, we did a game at Reading. I want to say it was Madeira at Reading, and this was some years ago.
Was that the rain game?
Well, no, I don't think this was the rain game, but this was the halftime performance. So one of the things that Fox Sports Ohio did at halftime is they showed the entire band.
Okay,
right?
Nice.
Well, Redding's band, God love them that year, I'm off by one or two.
Had maybe a drummer,
16 members,
a trumpet, a tuba.
So it was senior night. So Susie was on the mic. So the typical band announced. They showed the entire thing. Susie was introducing every member while they were attempting to play a tune and just crying unabashed. Like, it was
it's
one
emotional.
Of the... well,
Because sadly, maybe the band was going to disband after that. The seniors were graduating. There's no more band.
Let me tell you what. If I didn't have to deal with another band the rest of my life...
Back in my day, they were impressive. Nowadays, I think instead of spelling out the uppercase R, they go lowercase.
Do they? Because they don't have enough.
Well, you do what you can do.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. There are some really good high school bands in
there
this
are.
Area. There are tremendous.
I mean, I was leaving the Lakota West Fairfield game Friday night.
Well, both played post game, right?
The West band played, and then they got like a junior. No, maybe they did both play.
I think they both did.
I think you're right.
No, I think they both. And they're both. I mean,
both
West
good.
Band is really, really good. I got a gem this week. We'll just move along from there. All right, we have one more segment, and honestly, I know one thing. Today is today.
Andy Dalton passes intercepted.
Jesus. We're filling up our own gas tanks right now.
Run on your own gas, buddy.
Well, they're filling up.
Siphon it.
Get a real coach. We'll continue. We'll talk some NFL when we continue.
They need
You're
some
listening
gas.
To the they need a driver of the damn. Put gas in it and get somebody who can drive
get
the
a
damn
new driver.
Floor.
I like that.
God almighty. You're listening
That's
to
the thing
angry
for next year. We got a new driver.
We got a new driver from ESP Media. Media studios for this week's edition of the Angry Quarterbacks. Got the two angry guys. I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner. And a legitimate quarterback. I'm about to lose my voice here.
You know who we need to get for this, though? We need Sergio Dip.
Oh.
Do we not?
You know what?
That.
You get what you pay for.
Did you feel sorry for him, or did you go, how in the world did you land this gig?
I thought it was some kind of joke or something. Like, I sat there with my mouth open for like 2 minutes, just like,
he
what
did
just
appear
happened?
Like he almost was unable to speak.
Yeah.
Like he really, I mean, really
Here's
wasn't.
The coach,
here, if I'm at ESPN and I see how that explodes on social media, I'm going back and saying, hey, you're getting the coach coming out of the half. Everyone would tune in for that.
Absolutely. Good point. Sergio.
Yeah. When will Sergio
actually,
speak
tweet
next?
Sergio about to go live again.
Yeah.
It's a good. It's a great
next,
idea.
But honestly,
next, Sergio catches up with the head coach.
Here's the bottom line.
Wow,
they've let all these people go.
Yep,
You know, and honestly, cut back some of the nonsense that you do and keep some legitimate reporters to do their job.
But holy cow. Hang holy on. Cow.
While we're talking about that, my God, that Carissa Thompson. Jesus.
She's
God.
A little
I
bit of a
I don't care
show.
What the hell she says. I could and Susie. I got.
Susie still looks
stunning,
great.
Stunningly
great.
Hot.
Great.
Sexy. Yep. Got that raspy voice.
She's pushing 50, right?
Is she really?
I think so.
Damn, she looks a hell of a lot better pushing 50 than I do.
There's no question about
I mean,
that.
I'm over 50, but I mean, all right, here we go. I just read this. Oh, he's Tony Pike, by the way. He's a legitimate quarterback.
He is a legitimate quarterback.
I got sidetracked.
And a quarterback guru now.
Segment number three, which is the NFL, just says NFL week one complete. Bengals ... dreadful. That's from the producer. That's being kind.
That's the only way to put it.
That's being kind. I don't have it. Here's my deal. I'll just speak and then I'll shut up and let you guys talk about the game. There's no reason to discuss the game. As long as you have this guy as your head coach, you get what you get. You get nonsense.
Well, all right.
You
now,
get no motivation.
Now, hear me out. Yeah. I don't disagree with some of that.
Brutal.
And Tony, you can feel free to disagree with me on this. He ain't the one that threw the four picks, and he ain't the one that had the
agreed.
Offensive line personnel the way
agreed,
it is because
not ready
you
to...
chose to let two free agents walk. That
well,
ain't
I
him.
Agree with that.
But I will say someone, the head coach, when the management, at some point this offseason, needed to step in and say, look, we didn't
you've
draft
left me with
a guy.
Right,
right
dude,
right.
These are two of the top 25 linemen
agency.
In the NFL. Right.
And did you see how Zeitler and Whitworth graded out yesterday?
Yeah.
Like a 77 and 80 or something.
No, Pro Football Focus did their own grades for those guys. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, those two guys had great grades. Did you see the grades for the Bengals guys?
Well,
oh,
highest,
yeah, I
like
did.
46.
45,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
Well, and
let
me ask you this. The reality of it is, I don't think – it's one thing that they let those two guys go.
Right.
But the problem is the two guys replacing them – You don't know. You no. can't go into a season not knowing.
One
did you know?
One of your starting tackles got benched last year. And then preseason, like we were talking about earlier, put him in for the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Let the guy get some confidence and feel good about pancaking a third team guy.
Correct. Correct.
I mean, you give him no confidence. And it's
well, and the other part, too, and I think this isn't on Marvin. This is more probably on Ken Zampezi. Once you realize Terrell Suggs is kicking his ass,
yep.
I'm gonna put you in offense. What would the first thing you would do as an offensive coordinator would be if he's getting his ass kicked consistently one on one?
Well, I'd start attaching a tight end to his
really.
Side. So let the tight end help. Now what defenses are doing, and Baltimore did it. Houston, I guarantee, will do it. They understand that the offensive line's terrible. They
sure.
understand, oh, boy, he's not good. So what these defenses do now is they walk these linebackers up into the A-gaps.
Yep.
So now as a running back, you have to come forward first.
You have to take the inside
yep.
and let the
and
outside.
And now that's given J.J. Watt this week an extra second against Obwehi, or Jadeveon Clowney an extra second. So you're going to see exclusively all year five, six, seven up at the line of scrimmage, and you got to decipher who's coming quick. And what I think it's done, and it's bad to say this because as a quarterback, you always want to have peripheral vision. You know, you don't want to stare at the line. I guarantee Andy Dalton now is at a point where he's taking his eyes off downfield and he's looking at what's going on at the line.
Hard not to,
yeah,
isn't
it's hard
it?
Not to. And now you can say, well, get the ball out quicker. But as soon as you start getting the ball out quicker,
everybody's up tighter.
Defensive lines, they don't rush now. They just
stand
get their hands
right.
up and bat the ball down. So my problem is you get into too many for the Bengals second and long and third and longs. The second and 10 run should be out of the playbook.
You said that, and you're right.
Because if you get to third and 7 or 10 – with this offensive line,
you're dead.
You have no
you're
chance.
You're dead.
That's because the defensive coordinator can say, hey, pin your ears back and just go get them.
Let me ask both of you guys two questions. One is the running backs by committee, essentially.
Don't
I know
like
there's
it.
That. I don't like it either.
Brutal.
I mean, don't you go with the guy and just say, you're my. Now, don't get me wrong. You've got Bernard can catch passes. You're still trying to find out about Mixon. But the reality of it is, if Jeremy Hill's the guy, let him be the guy.
Well,
right?
I don't mind coming in and saying all three guys will see the field, but it should be situational work.
Yeah,
it should be
not series by series by series.
Hey, this is Giovanni Bernard's series, but guess what? It's third and one.
Jeremy,
Hill, get
go
in.
Go in. Right.
It's not just, hey, whatever happens, you get this series, you get the next. Like, Joe Mixon had a great couple carries, and then he doesn't get to go out for another series.
Right.
And then you barely see him till the third or fourth quarter.
Correct.
It's like, you know, you can't get into any kind of rhythm. And let's be honest. This is not a good Ravens team.
No.
They 10
it's
plus
a
injuries.
Decent defense.
10 plus
it's an
injuries.
Okay
Terrell Suggs is not the same Terrell Suggs as 5 years
he
ago.
He sure looked like
he
it.
Looked
though,
like it.
Because they helped him look like it, yeah.
But you gained 220 yards of total offense
against
a
that.
Depleted team.
Right.
It to me it's just the biggest problem is this. They what do they do in the draft? Well, we're getting skill guys. Our offense is going to be so unique, so elusive.
Right.
So here's what you had a little bit yesterday. Giovanni Bernard had 9 targets, 8 runs, 1 catch. Joe Mixon had 14 targets. A.J. Green, 10 targets. LaFell, 5. Boyd, 4. Eifert got 1 target yesterday.
Well, I was going to ask you about Eifert. I mean, that's a guy who was a difference maker, right?
Right.
And now you get 1 catch.
Now you bring your first round draft pick back. So now who do you take stuff away from?
The question is, and maybe I'm just a big. I want to know what is your identity as an offense,
right. you don't have one.
You don't have one because you have almost too much. Yep. You have too many play toys. As opposed, look, if you want to rotate 3 running backs and tell me I'm going to run it 40 times a game, and in the NFL, yep. Give my one guy 15, my other guy 15, my other guy 10, and at least you're keeping them fresh. I mean, let's face yep. it, you can't run 25 times a week in the NFL for 16 weeks as a running back. You will be dead.
Right.
So that's not going to work. What is your idea? If you want to stand back in the shotgun and throw it 45 times, okay, but what is your identity?
It can't change week to week. And like we spoke before, I don't know if you heard any of the press conference, but they asked him why Tyler Eifert got 1 target. And Marvin's response was, well, the defense basically dictated that.
His standard response whenever that's asked is the defense dictates where the right. coverage the coverage dictates where the ball is thrown. We can't force throws
right.
into coverage.
So my
that's
question,
the standard answer.
My question goes back to, Antonio Brown gets double teamed every week.
Right.
190 receiving
yards. And
then
he puts up the numbers
Julio
he puts up.
Julio Jones gets double teamed.
Right.
A couple years ago in the playoffs, A.J. Green didn't touch the ball in the first half.
Right. I find that answer to be nonsense.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because I know for a fact from college and the NFL that there's plays in the playbook that you go and you say, this is how I get this guy the ball, no matter what. Wide receiver screen, tight end dump. Travis Kelce the other night, they tried to take him away in
right.
the passing game. They put him at Wildcat, and they shovel pass it to him 3
yeah.
or 4
well,
times.
Well, you were in Carolina when Steve Smith was
yeah.
there. I guarantee you they had certain
right.
things to get Steve Smith
so you're,
touches,
you're
right?
basically saying they are – basically what Marvin said is a defense can come in and
– and dictate yeah, what we're going
to
do.
We can't. We couldn't throw to A.J. Green this week because the defense wouldn't let us.
Here's the thing, though. If you're going to try to build an identity – I don't see how your identity can be dropping back and passing the ball that much because a guy's going to get killed.
Yep.
No, I agree. That's what I'm trying to.
But can this line block better running the football than it can in pass protection?
I don't know the answer to that. I thought there were times they did. If you take away the 23-yard run by Bernard, a 12-yard run by Hill, an 8-yard run by Mixon, on the 18 other carries they had, they got 32 yards rushing. So that's
Yeesh.
Not.
So I guess, but here's the problem. So the question becomes, if this line is as bad as it was Sunday, what do you do?
You quick kick?
Yeah.
But I mean, there aren't guys waiting in the wings as solutions,
correct?
Well,
here's the problem, and I'll stick to it. The Bengals' skill players are elite.
Absolutely.
Defenses coming in are going to say, we're going to get to the quarterback
before
you can use your
yeah.
elite. So
you're right.
You look, and we've spoke, the sense of urgency, we saw Marvin again. Fourth quarter, 9 minutes left, down 20-0.
Punt.
In the
that's his
MO. Side of the field,
always
and he punts.
Been.
You know, I guarantee that to me is not a sense of urgency when it comes to football. That,
gutless.
You're going to see different this week. The Texans come in. Last 5 meetings, they've averaged 12 points against Houston. And now Bill O'Brien for the Texans, I guarantee if he starts 1-4, you're fired.
So there's a
sense of urgency.
Right.
And a team that was embarrassed last week. Coming off, you know, the Jacksonville game, coming off playing for Houston, all this stuff, they're going to turn on the film and see this offensive line. And J.J. Watt and Clowney and Merciless and those guys are going to be absolutely licking their chops. So you better figure it out in a short week.
I'll ask you, Tony, could you go to more I formation stuff, A, to run the football because yep. you put a blocker in front of somebody, B, it gives you more opportunities for play action stuff that can slow down some rush and maybe even allow Andy to do some bootleg stuff, which allows him to move a little bit. I'm trying to mask what the offensive line issues are.
One of the main things, you have to bootleg and sprint out more.
Yeah.
Because Andy's not bad on the run.
No.
You got to get him out of the pocket.
In fact, actually, one of the only times they did it, he did it out of the end zone
nice
and hit A.J.
play.
Green for like 13
Where
or 14 yards.
Our big sign last year, Ryan Hewitt. What are we using him for in this offense?
He's supposed to be a fullback.
He should be able to get back there and help block.
Absolutely.
Now, I know a lot of people like the Ross, and I see the athleticism. I was an O.J. Howard fan going into the draft because when you look at the Patriots, when they had the struggles on the offensive line, they went to what? Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski.
Right. And one of them would stay into max
and
protect.
And either one would stay attached or they would both attach.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, and now what are you doing? Now the defensive end's a whole gap out. Now you're able to help with him. Now, right now, the Bengals don't attach the tight end enough.
No, you went 4 wide a bunch. You went 5 wide a handful of times, so you're totally empty. You are absolutely inviting. Now, you what? If your 5 guys are good, you can do that kind of stuff. If your 5 guys are not good,
nope.
you just can't do it.
Here's what I would tell you. I would not want to play the Patriots this week.
Nope.
Because the difference of – so you're going to see, to me, on Thursday night, if you have a real coach and a real leader, he's going to have lit a fire under their ass, which we know is not happening because today is today.
Well, you're also going to make some technical adjustments, some of the stuff we're talking about.
But how about come out with a level of anything?
Yep.
The Bengals just come out, and obviously perfect hurts the team because
the
he's
not
there.
Wasn't the problem.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the problem, but nonetheless – if he's in there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an emotion. It's more of an execution thing for me.
It is.
I mean, they just didn't execute because they're not good enough.
I
guarantee in the Patriots locker room right now, it's everyone's already writing us off. Let's come out here.
Right.
Let's show them this. Is there a guy on the Bengals team, and you saw A.J. Green threw his helmet. I mean, A.J. Green showed more emotion. You could tell already he's not ready to put up with this for another year, which is
great.
Because
can you imagine if you're him going, I got 15 more of this?
Right. I will say – now, Andy Dalton, as bad as he played yesterday, not a lot of guys in the NFL, and he showed up at the Holy Grail Banks last night to do his Bengals stuff. You know, he put everything on himself. He said he's got to be better. Now, he's got a chance to come and turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing, one great game, all of a sudden you forget about that. But if,
look,
if we're historically primetime Bengals
not been good.
Oh, boy.
Piggybacked with what you have last week, and now you go to Green Bay next week. If you're at 0-3 and you come home and you're going to Cleveland, who we spoke about teams on the right direction.
They're better.
You can tell the way Cleveland plays.
They're better.
They're on the up and up.
Yeah.
Like they believe what's going on. They have an identity. It's going to be interesting.
I want to ask you one more thing about this. I'm not a believer that you pull the plug on Andy Dalton. In fact, look, the guy threw 15 interceptions the last two seasons combined and almost 1,000 passes. So Sunday was a rarity. Let's face that.
Right.
He's had games. I mean, he had a game against Cleveland where his passer rating was 2.0 4
years
ago.
Every quarterback has bad games.
Everybody has that. But I'll ask you this. When he was struggling, let's just say after he fumbled the ball, wasn't his fault, got hit from behind, why can't you just pull a guy at that point and go, look, dude, just stand over here, watch for a couple series, maybe the rest of the game.
It's not
breathe.
Your day.
It's not your day. Things are sideways, man. It is not your day for whatever reason. You'll start next week. Just stand here with me.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. And as a quarterback, there's practices or there's days where – it could be something not even football related. There could be something going on in your personal life. There could be you just don't feel, you know, something's going on where, you know, you're not getting your reads. You're not understanding what you're seeing. It almost hurts more to leave a guy in through something like that than to say, hey, you know what? McCarron, get in there. You know, see what you can do. See if you can move this offense. And then as soon as the game's over, as a coach, you say, look, first thing I'm saying, there's no quarterback controversy.
Andy's still my guy.
Andy's my guy. He didn't have it today. There's no controversy at all. I wanted to give McCarron some meaningful snaps in a game in case down the road he's needed for whatever reason. Don't just leave a guy out there to dangle.
Well, it's kind of like, honestly, it's like a pitcher in baseball. I mean, when you're that bad on that particular day, what is the point other than you're saving guys in the bullpen and you're taking one for the team? Get him out of there.
I mean, there's
no
question.
A thing or two about that around here.
Lastly, from the NFL, what week one team impressed you the most and which week one team you go, woo boy? And I don't mean the usual suspects, woo boy, just a team that you thought.
I think impressed me the most probably Kansas City.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I just thought
they looked fast.
Well, they just, I mean, and Andy Reid's a good coach. And Alex Smith is not as bad as everybody thinks he is. I mean, he's not.
Yeah.
Woo boy. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of woo boys.
The Colts.
Colts.
When your head coach doesn't even know who you just played.
They were playing the 49ers, weren't they?
Yeah. I'm like.
Well, it's confusing with all those teams moving around.
Does that not back up
Pagano? That's the best.
Was it a week or two ago where someone asked him about Andrew Luck?
Well, they don't. They
and he said, I haven't seen him throw?
Well, no. Yeah. They've given no, and apparently with Andrew Luck, no one has any idea if and when he's coming back.
I think he got kidnapped and he's on an island somewhere and nobody knows where he is.
Coach, what's Andrew Luck look like? Oh, I don't know. I don't watch him throw.
Well, I'll give you another one, too. Another woo boy, and a guy's a clown. I'm sorry. He's a former Bengal coach. The Redskins suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just a dysfunctional organization. I don't know if that's on him or if that's just on a dysfunctional organization.
I'm tired of his attitude. Shut up and win some football games. Quit bitching. And honestly, every game at Green Bay, I hate Green Bay. The NFL has conspired with the Packers. They get every damn call. It's ridiculous.
You had the Seahawks getting three.
Ridiculous.
Last night, Minnesota, I thought
they looked
impressive.
Minnesota's
defense looks good, and if Bradford can be half competent like that.
I like Zimmer. I root for Zimmer.
Adrian Peterson experiment, you could tell already that's not going to work.
No, when the head coach is basically snapping, and I don't know what he said, but it was along the lines of shut up.
When they brought him in, you knew they were going to run the ball.
Right.
Because he's
right.
And that's not Drew Brees. He needs those guys to get out and route.
My opinion, one of the most overblown coaches in NFL history, Sean Payton. Completely overblown. Outside of Brees and the one, what the hell has he done? Except have bounties.
I played in a game that season where I was hit late two times for personal fouls.
Well, why wouldn't he? He was.
Does that explain it?
Shot a couple drops and a couple late hits, or else I'm probably still there.
Was he coaching at Miami when you were at Reading and tried to recruit you? Is that what it was? There's a little vendetta, vendetta from back then.
Anybody else who was? Well, the Jets are awful, but they're going to be awful.
I was just talking about teams that are,
like you said, Kansas City.
They just look fast.
And the Raiders.
In New England.
Yeah, that's the thing. Down double digits.
Down big.
And the Raiders with a road win.
The AFC West is really good. Yeah,
it is good.
I think the Chargers are deep. I mean, that whole division's pretty good.
Tackling in the NFL is at an all-time low. Mm-hmm. It is.
And I just go back to the whole new training camp rules have screwed the pooch on that.
Trevor Siemian, the most athletic quarterback in the world, one-on-one beat Joey Bosa.
Yes, he did.
Last night to get in the end zone.
That shouldn't happen. No. Should never happen.
Needs dentist. Selfie monkey has bad upper teeth. Right? He must smoke.
Yeah, he's
doesn't
got
it look like his big two teeth? Like he's been
selfie monkey's
away?
Got nicotine stained teeth.
And I'll leave you with this thought.
Yes, please.
The only thing that was more nauseating to me than the Bengals' performance on Sunday is when I pull up in my car at a traffic light and I have the windows down and I got to inhale Fred smoke. That irritates the hell out of me. You know what I'm saying? I just thought of that with Monkey with his bad teeth.
Thank you for that.
I mean, honestly, put your damn window up and blow it on yourself.
These fans and diversity for the coach.
I tell you, I ordered pizza.
The coach is doing a thing. Thank you, Sergio Dip.
And see what watching the Bengals will do to you. There you go. So hopefully Thursday night's better. Okay, well, I'll leave it with this. Bengals or Texans?
Oh, Bengals 6-3.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go
it's
Bengals.
It's got a chance now. It's got a chance.
I'm going Bengals 9-6.
Are you?
Randy Bullock, my fantasy kicker.
I'm going the first.
Really helped you week one, didn't
he? I'm going the first tie of the season. Even after the X-3.
Goose.
Even after the X-3. I don't know what the score will be, but nobody's got double digits. And you realize now it's going to be like 42-7.
3-2.
All right. You've been listening. Don't forget, it's the Angry Quarterbacks. We do this every week, and why the hell wouldn't we? I'm Tom Gamble. He's Richard Skinner. We're the Angry Guys, and he's a legitimate quarterback who, again, was in part of the bounty for Sean Payton.
Wow, that's getting scary.
Here be Tony Pike. Have a great week. We're back at it next week, and you're listening to the Angry Quarterbacks from ESP Media.